Hey everyone, this is Adam, the referee from Two Past Midnight. Well, we've made it. It's been a year, and this is going to be episode 53. So I want to first off say thank you to everyone that's been listening so far, and everyone that's given us reviews or, you know, 5-star ratings on whatever platform it is that you're listening to. And if you haven't yet, please do that. It really helps us out. We have a Patreon set up now. You can find the link to that in the show notes. And along those lines, for our patrons, on Saturday, July 8th, at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, we're going to have a live video celebration of our first year and recap of what's happened so far, Q&A with whoever's there for the live event, and also discussing our plans moving forward, because we have some new things that we want to kind of start doing in new mediums and some new games that we kind of want to do, as well as continuing the story that we're already doing here with Two Past Midnight and Twilight 2000. So if you're interested in that, like I said, in the show notes, we have the Patreon. After the live event, the video is going to go up to the public, but the only way to be there live is going to be for our patrons. So if you're interested in that, like I said, the link is in the show notes, and that's about all I got. So without further ado, here is episode 53, After All. So we open back at the gas station. The firefight has ended. Lieutenant Kim and Anderson are inside, and Keanu is outside in the tank, and Butler had just come into the room.
And killed the guy.
And killed the dude, yep. And that's where we're at.
Sir, are you guys all right in here?
I don't. Are there any more? Is this place empty, or there's way more people here than we thought?
We haven't cleared the rest of the building. I got Keanu out there on the tank.
Where is your battle buddy, Butler?
He's on the gun on the tank, sir.
Why aren't you with him?
Sounded like you guys needed help.
If you ever leave your battle buddy again, I will bust you down so low that Private Peterson will be your damn commanding officer.
Well, sir, he's got full view of everything that's going on out there. You guys sounded like you were in trouble. I came in to help. And
Specialist Butler, I did not ask.
Yes, sir. Butler turns around and goes back to the tank.
Sergeant Anderson?
Yes, sir.
Let's regroup back at the tank.
Can I grab a weapon that isn't this pistol?
Yeah, let's scrounge up all we can from them. Grab the weapons from in here, and we'll get back to the tank. We'll grab Peterson and Butler. And then we'll clear out the rest of this building. Are you doing all right?
I've never really killed anybody that wasn't just general cannon fodder with my own. I'll be okay.
It's all right. It's all right. You'll be all right, son. It's different when it's man to man, isn't it?
I was just supposed to never leave the tank and just...
I know. I know. Let's grab up everything we can from this room, and then we'll get back to the tank, grab Peterson and Butler, and then we'll come back in and clear out the rest of this building, all right?
Yep. So, Anderson gets up and kind of wanders over. There should be two dead bodies essentially here in this room that we're at right now.
Yeah, there's two dead bodies in there.
And he clears whatever's on them and then hits the third guy on the way out the main eastern entrance of whatever he would have as he heads up back out to regroup.
Yeah, and Lieutenant Kim has been covering you the entire time.
I would be very antsy and jumpy and just kind of looking back and forth every second I get and just fumbling around trying to grab rifles and whatever would have be.
Yeah.
The one group had whatever that machine gun was.
Yeah, there would be these two people here in the common area, and then the one guy on the way out of the dinette would be the three that we clear.
Yeah. The one dude off to the side that you shot first, Anderson.
Yeah, the one guy to the south. I wouldn't have gone near that body.
Okay. Well, then the two guys inside, the three guys inside. Sorry, they. Yeah, the ones you guys shot once you came inside all had AKs. Okay. That's what they had.
Just the AKM?
Yeah, yeah. The one guy that was the machine gunner had the... What the fuck's it called?
PKM?
Yeah, PKM. And then...
Nice.
Is that what it is? I'll worry about it in a second. But that was all they really had. And between them, you guys get... 5 rations.
Oh,
total. Right. Cool. All in all. Like 5 rations of food, and like each of them had like another 5 water.
Each just has one full mag, essentially.
At this point, yes.
Yep.
on average, I'll say each of them has a full mag. So 5 magazines.
Rob Pearson, how are you doing?
I'm happy you guys are okay, man. That was a lot. That was a lot.
Is that engine off? He looks over at Butler. Butler, did you turn off Bevo?
No, it did that on its own, sir.
Oh, hell.
Are we out of gas?
Yep. All right, boys. Standard operating procedure. Peterson, you grab that 240 and all the ammo you can carry for that. You leave the coax where it's at. We can't pull that out of there and rig that up. That 50 is going to have to stay. Drop that down inside the chassis there. Specialist Butler, I need you to take those last remaining rounds that we have for the HE and take all them 50 rounds and rig them up to blow. We cannot let some commie piece of shit have our tank. You understand? We're going to blow it in place, and we're going to leave them nothing but junk.
We ain't going to be in the tank no more?
We ain't got no gas. We got no resupply. We'll end up getting ourselves killed just trying to find fuel for it. We got to blow it in place and just keep going, boys.
Sir, you want to blow the weapons in the tank?
Say again, Butler.
You want to blow the weapons in the tank, correct, sir?
Oh, yeah. You put everything down in that command deck, and we're going to blow it up. I don't know the nomenclature for tanks, so I'm making shit up. I'm sure they got fancy words for inside seats and, you know, the inside. So what we need to do is we need to rig up all them remaining rounds we got inside. Blow them up, so that way that tank is completely inoperable from the inside. And blow it inside out.
Something just doesn't seem right about that, sir. I spent so much time keeping this thing up and running and going. This is our home away from home.
I understand that, Butler. But we ain't got the fuel. We ain't gonna find a fuel. So our standard operating procedure is to blow it in place and walk away. Because we can't carry it with us. He's too heavy for that.
We are at a gas station. There's nothing here.
We done checked. You checked yourself. Them tanks are empty. Boys, I don't like it myself. Bevo's been real good to us. He's kept us safe through these last 3 long years. But... when it's time to say goodbye, it's time to go.
Sir, you keep saying standard operating procedure. I don't think there's really standing operating procedure for what's going on now. This isn't exactly an organized unit or...
Specialist Butler, I told you all I would get you all home. and we're going to follow standing operating procedure because it's there to keep you alive, son. We cannot let this tank fall into enemy hands because they may have fuel. We don't have fuel resupply coming from anywhere. It's just us, boys. We're on our own. You're right, Butler. There ain't no standard operating procedure, but I tell you what, you want some commie bastard rolling up on us, shooting us in the ass with our own tank? We can't drive it nowhere. I know you love it. I love it too, but I'm not going to be killed with my own weapon.
I get it, sir. What I was more going with is, see, we're pretty much leaving the idea of standard operating procedure from here on forth. Now we're just going to be scroungers and survivors.
Our last orders were to get back to Bremerhaven. We are on our own. We need to get back home. We were told to pull out. We were trying to rally up with the rest of our unit. The rest of our unit is gone. We are on our own to make it back to that rally point on our own. This war ain't over. We're still in it, boys. What you call scroungers, I call guerrilla tactics. If that's what we have to resort to win, to beat these Russian bastards, that's what we'll do.
What I was getting at, sir, is I ran streets before I got in the military. Scrounging, surviving, that's what I did. So it's not going to exactly be military protocol.
You underestimate the expanse of military protocol, son. It is vast and includes events such as these.
Okay, Captain America. Let's get it done.
I'm going to need a tech roll to make a IED, essentially.
I am a C and a D.
No, he's an A and a B. He's a mechanic and
yeah.
Driver.
Yeah, you got it.
That's why I said Butler. I knew he was the mechanic. I got it written down on a little notepad.
Three successes.
Jeez.
How do?
All right, so for Fluff, tell me what this looks like.
Inside the, let's call it cabin of the tank?
Sure.
He's got the main gun rounds rigged together. Run that cord down outside and then light it and it goes boom. In the commander's chair, by the way.
Whatever. As long as shit don't work.
And so we see the four members of this tank crew, Keanu and Lieutenant Kim and Butler and Anderson, and they're standing a ways away outside of the blast radius, the presumed oncoming blast radius. And they light the cord and poof. It's like further away shot where we can see like the four of them like hunkered down behind some cover, you know, just in case, you know. There you guys are. No tank. But it appears to have done the job. Got smoke coming up off the top of the tank.
Anderson kind of walks out and he's just kind of staring at the flames. Just not really looking at it, kind of looking through it. Just kind of catatonic at the moment.
Lieutenant Kim stands up and walks up next to Anderson and just watches the last 3 years of his life go up in flames with Anderson.
Keanu, with these, his stomach's really hurting him. Basically, almost losing a little bit of hope as the one thing they had going for him just got blown to pieces.
Butler.
He pulls off his flak jacket and is checking the front where he got shot. This thing saved the shit out of me. Good thing it works. Sir, you sure don't want to check my handiwork, or are you satisfied with that?
Butler, are we going to have problems?
No, sir.
I can see your handiwork just fine.
We zoom in on flames on the outside of the tank around the longhorns that are still attached to the front of the tank. And we cut back over to the main team driving in the truck. heading into evening, nighttime. You're driving, Stanislav. How far do you drive before you pull over?
He's going to drive down towards the bridge. He's not pulling over anytime. What time? What shift are we in?
You're heading into evening. So okay. It's
He's okay with going for a while. Every once in a while, he kind of like sneaks a sip out of his flask in his breast pocket.
Mm-hmm. You guys are coming up on the bridge, and you go by the area where the Humvee was parked before. You come up to the bridge, but you remember on the other side of the bridge, you could see a crater over there, a little ways away. So you're pretty sure you have to find a different way across. Because you can't just go through that hex, basically.
God damn it.
It's almost like the GM remembered these things.
I don't remember there being a crater there.
There was. Yep. Trust me. If someone goes back and listens, they'll hear me talk about crater there.
I believe you.
And some deer in the crater. Drinking water from a puddle. And you see some dead deer in a crater. So, probably a survival roll to figure out another way around. But this means it's going to take up the rest of your shift, trying to back road find a way out of there.
How much of a bonus is Stanislav going to give for the... Okay.
Plus two?
Okay.
Plus two, because he's a local. Plus one for being a local, plus one for aiding. So.
Okay.
So, plus two on that, Harrison.
Okay, plus two. No successes. That is a...
Do you want to push this roll?
Sure. Mr. Stan, you need to find a way around here. Come on now.
We need to find a role-playing game that doesn't have dice for Chris.
There is a dirt road round, you know, to the south, and then you cut to the north a little bit, and then to the west, yeah? And then
he takes another swig.
And you head east towards the...
One success.
And one stress. So, Chris, why is there stress on this? You tell me. I mean, you succeed, but you also get a point of stress. So roll coolness under fire first.
One success.
Okay. So you don't take a point of stress. So what was it about the situation that made it almost stressful like that?
I ain't sure... Mr. Stan knows where we're going. He's pretty drunk.
That sounds right.
That's about right. Got a drunk guy giving you directions in a war
zone. And driving.
That sounds about right.
But you did it. You did it, Mr. Stan. This road will get us across around there.
Yeah, so it takes some time. And by this point, it's nighttime. But you find the bridge, the crossing that he was talking about. But it's dark. It is nighttime. And you're about two hexes to the southeast.
We should probably stop, Mr. Stan. I don't know if you should be driving too much in the dark.
I don't really like driving more in the dark. I'm also very tired. I am okay with stopping. Or if someone else would like to drive, that is okay too. I do not mind.
Harrison crosses himself. Thank you, Lord.
We stop here.
And he just stops the truck and, like, gets
out. Everybody roll mobility to hold on and not get tossed out of the back of the truck. I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
He stops the truck and, like, flings the door open and goes to relieve himself in the ditch.
You should drink some water before you go to sleep.
That is a good idea. I will drink water. You should drink water, too. And do not forget to eat.
Thank you, Mr. Stan. I just don't want you to get a hangover.
Hangover, please. Hangover isn't for Americans.
Should I remove water and food for all of you guys? For all five of you?
Stanislav was one and one, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I think once we get settled, we should all have a little powwow and eat and drink and be merry.
All right.
We still have to make camp and all the other jazz.
That we yeah, yeah. All right, so who's going to make camp? Who's going to sleep? Who's keeping watch?
I would like to sleep, but I mean, I can do whatever.
Making camp is survival, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Cole always made camp.
He did.
Who's got our best survival?
Emmett.
Stanislav is a B and Emmett's a D.
Emmett's a C and a D, and that's because I've made camp quite a bit, actually. Because when we needed people to keep watch, it fell to me to make camp.
What is, I think all of us are on par for the most. It's B and D for survival for everybody else?
Murph is a B and a D.
Okay.
Harrison's a C and a D.
Yeah. So it's going to be Murph, myself, or Gordy. Who wants to take it?
Gordo, what's your role?
A D and a B.
Oh, okay.
It's the same of all the same.
If Stanislav makes camp and fails, we could just be like, oh, it's because he's drunk.
Yeah. Hey, also, everybody roll me a D6.
Oh, I hate blind rolls.
Ooh, a 1.
Uh-huh. Okay.
A 5.
Mm-hmm.
3.
Mm-hmm.
Also a 3.
And a 4.
Okay. Kyle, have Gordon roll a stamina roll for me. Not for anything in particular, just, you know, cuz. Do you want to push that roll?
Yeah, definitely. 2 successes.
There you go.
Okay. You were definitely not about to get a waterborne illness. From the canteens that you filled up.
So somebody's going to get it. Since the guy that filled the water.
You're fine. Don't worry about it. All right. So who's going to roll the making camp roll?
We haven't decided yet.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I interrupted. Continue.
No, it's fine. Who wants it? I don't care about rolling it, but doesn't matter to me.
Go ahead.
All right. Can I push that one?
Yep. It is a pushable roll.
Yeah, it'll push it. And nothing. Again, nothing. Can I push it again?
No. You're not a... All right, wait. Are you a dwarf?
I'm kind of short.
No.
All right.
No.
This is how you get ants.
This is how you get ants.
You know what? It fits, though, because he is drunk.
He is drunk. He is drunk, and I didn't even give him a negative. Oh. The dice gods gave him a negative.
I make camp, and then he falls down and goes to sleep. He's good here. We lay down, sleep. You lay here, like, you know, on truck. He's good. Parking brake is on. He's okay.
All right. So what does it look like? What are you guys all, the rest of you, doing? Like, what are the rest of you guys going to do? He was making camp. What's anybody else doing? Who's on watch? Who's doing what?
I volunteer to take the first watch.
Okay. Roll me a recon roll, then.
Recon, you say?
That's what I said.
1 success.
Okay. Emmett, what are you doing?
Emmett will sit down in the back of the truck with his back up against the cab. He will kind of fade back into his memory of basically getting drug around the island with his drunk dad, bouncing him around in the cab as a little boy. His dad spewing some kind of drunken nonsense about Pearl Harbor and patriotism and these things as he swerves from lane to lane. And just the heart pounding fear of being a child in a situation you've got no control in, with somebody that you're supposed to trust.
And all of that drunken ranting from Emmett's dad is like intermixed with the drunken ranting of Stanislav as he's like making camp, and it's like kind of cuts back and forth.
There's some fucking goddamn, you gotta protect this shit. You know what I'm saying, Emmett?
This grass is too tall. Someone should have come by and cut this grass by now. You're gonna get ticks laying out in this. I guess we'll just stomp it down. I don't know. This place used to be so beautiful.
Why are you wearing that seatbelt, Emmett? You're a fucking wuss. Shut the fuck up back there. Fucking piece of shit.
Harrison, go get a knife and we cut this grass down so everyone can sleep without ticks.
Hey, Emmett, when we get to this gas station, I need you to go in and get my cigarettes for me, okay?
I remember this. It used to be so much prettier here. What happened? Where are the stars? What
is this? This cloud? What is the word for this?
English. God, I hate English.
Right over there was where that gun was I was on when I was shooting those fuckers out of the goddamn sky. Right the fuck over there. Emmett, look!
He, like, grabs Emmett by the head and points his face over there.
That sky, there used to be so many stars. You could see constellations. And I was going to get the biggest, brightest star up there. You know, I said I would build a rocket ship. I have not built a rocket ship yet, but it is. I plan on it. Maybe I can turn this truck into a rocket ship. Maybe if there's enough fuel, I can maybe just blow it up. Maybe that'd work.
At that, I don't think he realizes that Gordy understood what he said when he said that. And kind of, you hear a bit of a honk. And just kind of looks at him a little more nervous than he was before.
So as you guys were digging into the food, you notice that about half the rations are bad. So you're down to 3 rations.
As Stanislav passes out in the grass, Emmett starts to fade off to basically arrest more in the back of the truck. And it cuts to him and Keanu riding in the car with his dad passed out in the back seat. And he puts his hand, reaches over and grabs Keanu's hand. At the time he's probably 8, maybe 9 years old, and looks at him and goes, "Son, I'm sorry I'm not around much, but know that I love you more than that," as the camera kind of pulls out of the vehicle and goes away.
I know, Dad. I know.
Harrison, what are you doing?
He's actually sitting down somewhat near Stanislav, eating his ration and drinking his water, and concern because Stanislav is his my bestest friend I got here.
We hear the snores of Stanislav while you're talking to him.
He's just sitting there like thinking about the people that he's stuck here with, and that the one guy that he likes and that's treating him well is a drunk. At least he ain't mean to me.
What's Murph got going on?
Murph is sitting on, like, the tailgate of the truck, eating his ration, drinking water, and just 1,000-yard stare straight ahead, thinking back to him and Cole being cellmates in the POW camp, and how they, you know, one would come back from taking the beating and try to cheer each other up or joke about the shitty situation that they're in. Comfort each other in like a gallows humor kind of way. And just all the times that happened, and then up until when Cole got hit. And then that brings him to losing his spotter before going to the POW camp. And Doc taking the round to the head. Just the losses over and over and over.
So we cut to inside the cell in the POW camp where you guys started off. And we see a couple guards dragging Cole back into the cell by his arms. And his feet are just barely walking, right? But more so just being drugged as they like open the gate into the cell, throw him onto the floor.
You know what, Murph? These guys are pretty well trained, I'll tell you what. They're not messing around here.
Nah, these motherfuckers. They know our weak spots. But you know what? Just keep telling them to fuck off. We got to make a game of it.
Something's going to happen, and I cannot wait to put a bullet in every one of their heads when this is done. Especially Yuri, first chance I get. I swear to God.
That motherfucker, he's evil. They did train him well.
I know, he reminds me of me. Anyway.
Can you go rough on you this time?
Yeah. Can you wake me up in an hour? I'm sure I got a concussion. Try not to let me sleep too long.
No. Stay awake. Talk to me if you got a concussion. Got to do the same thing you did to me, brother.
It's going to be infuriating. All I've told him is that I think Russian's the most obnoxious language I've ever heard in my life. Sad part is, they're still taking orders. They still think there's something they're fighting for. It's pathetic, really. I don't get it.
Dude, like, that's what I've been saying the whole time. Oh,
for the love of God, not like, this guy.
Like, dude, like, if everybody just fucking stopped and went home, like, we'd all be home. And, you know, like, I don't even know what the fuck we're here for, man.
Easy, young blood. He ain't in the mood for you.
Like, dude, I'm just trying to help. Like,
I know you think you're trying to help, but you need to just maybe sit this one out.
All right, Biggie. Like, all right, man. Like, all right. You know, like, I'm good at talking to people and stuff, man. Like, I thought I'd help out.
You know what, kid? Next time I get tortured, that's what I'll do. I'll ask him nicely, and maybe he'll just let us all go.
Peace and love.
Like, I don't know why. See, that's the thing, man. Like, you guys get it the hard way, you know? Like, I don't know why, you know, you guys are fighting it so much, you know?
Because you don't know anything, dipshit.
Hey, ease up off the kid.
Well, of course he's not going to torture him. What does he know?
Like, I know my alphabet, you know, and my numbers, man, you know? Come on, Murph, man, you're, like, way too serious, man. Like, come on. It's a bad spot, you know? Like, we're in a bad spot, but we're gonna get out, man. Like, it don't last forever, you know?
Jacob, I really do appreciate your optimism, but I think you're wasting your time. Why don't you go ahead and, like I said, sit this one out, man?
All right, Biggie. Just saying, man. Like, you know.
I'm just saying, young blood, I love you to death, man, but I don't think we're all having the same experience.
No, I know, but I'm trying to, like, show the wisdom I got, you know? Because, like, I'm not having as much trouble, man, you know? Like, I know he's not after me as much, you know? So I'm trying to be like, you know, help out, you know? Trying to give a little tips and tricks, you know?
Tips and tricks? How are you helping out?
Dude, like, how to handle the situation, you know? Just, like, go with it, you know? Like, you gotta be like water, you know?
There's one good thing that came out of this that I'm in your cell, because I'm pretty sure I would have strangled him in his sleep.
We got back over to the camp. And, Gordon, you're keeping watch. You're looking around. And, like,
and isn't it ironic? A little too ironic. It's like rain on your wedding day.
You look off in the distance.
It's a free ride.
And you can see that none of the lyrics in that are irony, except for when she says, well, isn't this nice? Yes. And that's actually irony.
Really ironic.
Everything, nothing else in the song is. Anyway, moving on. The,
sidetrack.
Anyway, so you look off in the distance, and about 300-400 meters out, you see a small campfire.
No, thank you.
Hey, Murph, is it Murph?
Yep, Smurf, Gordo. You mind if I call you Gordo?
Gordo is fine by me. Do me a favor. I'm either going crazy, or I can see light just up ahead. Do you see what I see?
It's a little ways out there, but I see it.
It would appear that we're not alone. The question is, are we hiding from this campfire, or do we want to check it out?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with no.
I believe this scene for the day is no conversation.
Well, feel like every time we poke the hornet's nest, a bunch of them come out and fucking sting us. So, well, let's just. Let it be.
I will find your Captain Emmett and see what his thoughts are as well. At the very least, show him what I see.
Yeah, yeah. Talk to the captain.
Captain, sir.
Yeah, what is it?
My apologies for waking you. I have seen a campfire. Is some ways off in the distance. Just, you know, I'm unaware of whether we think this is a threat to us or something we need to investigate. We'll continue to keep watch, but, you know, just, I do not know what you guys, how do you say standard operating procedure for these?
Murph, what are you seeing? Anything?
And the real quick detail is it doesn't look like it's a big blazing campfire. Like, it looks like they're trying to conceal it, but you just see, like, the hint of light, and you're like, oh, that's a campfire. Like, someone had dug down into the ground, you know what I mean? But you can just barely see the light, and you're like, that's what that is.
Yeah, same thing he does. It looks like a small campfire. My opinion, we shouldn't fuck with it.
Yeah, but, I mean, are you seeing anybody? I mean, that could be some of our people. This is right where we lost that last group of refugees before we ended up hitting that town. Depending on how they got scattered out.
All right, you want me to go take a look?
I mean, I think that's better than pretending like the problem doesn't exist.
The proverbial ostrich visits head in the stand.
I'm sick of sniffing at things and getting smacked in the nose with the newspaper, all right?
You and Harrison both.
Okay. I'll go snoop and poop. See what I can find out. Don't any of you guys come with me. I move faster and quieter alone.
Good speed, Sir Murph.
All right, I'm out. He slings the sniper rifle over his back.
Which one?
The Dragunov.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay.
Dragunov.
Chris, you muted yourself again, maybe.
No, I did not.
Okay, that might have been Kyle. Sorry, go ahead.
And he's got the extra magazine with him. And takes off into the night.
Roll me a recon roll for infiltration. So whatever bonus you would get from infiltration, you'll get on this. And I believe they took the negative on the darkness, so you don't get a bonus on that. So just normal plus one.
One success.
Okay. So you're going along, and you're getting closer. And as you're getting closer, you're because you were about 400 meters out. So it was kind of like, especially with darkness, you couldn't quite see who, like what was around the fire with, you know, everything. But as you get closer, you can kind of make out what you think is three people at the fire. You can kind of catch like the hint of three silhouettes, and it looks like they're cooking food. They have bolt action rifles, whatnot.
Clothing.
Mismatch of like civilian clothing, maybe some military clothing, because people grab whatever they can sometimes, like field jackets and shit. But they don't appear like they're in uniform.
Would I gather any more information by getting closer?
I mean, not really. Three people appear to be civilians, bolt action rifles, cooking food.
Okay. He'll turn around and head back.
Okay. It takes a little bit and you get back, but you get back to your camp and that's the information you got.
So he quietly comes back in, almost surprising them. That is
Commonwood pigeon.
That is our call.
I see you, Mr. Murph. Welcome back.
Gordo, Emmett, looks like three civilians around a campfire cooking some food. They all have bolt action, nothing heavy. Doesn't look like military. And not enough to be our people unless they got separated from the herd.
I mean, if you didn't recognize any of them, I'm not going to worry about it. They got food. Not our problem. Let's just keep an eye on them, and we'll be out of here at first light anyhow.
So we cut over to that group of people. There's three of them, and they're just sitting there, and they're speaking in Polish to each other. The crackle of the fire, but we can see that they're just eating food. One of them's like kind of keeping watch, looking around. Another one's getting ready to lay down and like go to sleep. Other one's kind of tending the fire. And since you guys are staying there for the night, we see the sun starting to come up in the horizon on the east. Someone roll me a d6, actually.
I got this. One of these is going to be good, I promise. Crap.
Oh, every time you talk it up, then, every single time. Yep.
The sun starts to come up, and then all of a sudden, starts just raining. We see lightning going off. We see... Oh, this is going to be fucking fun. All right. We see you guys waking up in the morning. It's just fucking pissing down rain on you, right? Like, you're just... Like, the cab of the truck holds... Two, three people. Mm-hmm. Everyone else has got to ride in the back. And you're like, fuck. So you guys are kind of in that mode where it's like, do we start going now or do we wait for it to stop fucking raining? You know, Stanislav's got a little bit of a hangover. Just letting you know.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And we kind of see you guys like waking up in the morning. We cut over and we see the tank crew and they're moving along, the four of them. And they are patrolling, kind of keeping an eye out. And to them, you can tell that they're out of place. Like, they're not exactly in their element because they're used to being in a fucking tank. Not totally different, but, like, there's a level of protection from that tank that they don't have now. You know, that extra layer of, like, bullets don't automatically hit you, you know. You guys tell me what that looks like.
Sir?
What is it, Peterson?
We're not gonna make it home, are we?
You hush your mouth, son. I'm going to get you that boat, and we're all going to get out of here.
We don't have the tank anymore, sir. I mean, come on, man. Be real with me.
Pearson, listen to me. One mind, any weapon, right? Bevo's just a weapon. It's the man inside that's wielding it, right?
Exactly, the man inside. We're not inside anymore.
That's fine. You ain't gotta be inside to be able to handle it, you know? You don't need that armor. You're a good soldier. You just follow Sergeant Anderson. You listen to what he has to say. And just keep your head on a swivel, son, and we'll make it through this. I promise.
But I'm not the best soldier.
You're doing fine. You're doing fine. You made it through the last 3 years of this. And I'm telling you, I'm going to get you home.
We cut up to Butler and Anderson, who are closer to Point. And you guys are kind of within talking distance of each other. Pissing down rain on you.
Anderson, this fucking sucks.
I don't know what we're doing, where we're going. I don't know why I woke up this morning. Every night, it's the same nightmare. This is an 11.
Whoa, man, get a hold of yourself. Look, we all went through training. This isn't our thing, right? We're not infantry guys, we're tankers.
I'm not even a tanker. I don't know how I ended up here. I'm not built for war. I'm not built for any of this.
Well, you're built for surviving, and that's all we got to do right now. One foot in front of the other. Keep moving forward. Keep your eyes out for anything suspicious.
Everything's suspicious. Everything is out to get us. The weather is out to kill us. Every person I've met has either tried to kill me or is one of you people. The tank at one point tried to kill me.
We hear thunder goes off, and we cut over and we see Father Roberts and Alex and the group of the civilians from the village. They're walking through the rain and it's just pissing down on them too. And ahead you can see like another small village, and Alex is gesturing to Roberts and pointing up ahead, and Father Roberts nods, and Alex starts to go up to investigate just to see, because they can't see anybody in this village yet. So Alex is kind of going up to investigate and kind of recon the area to see what's going on and see if maybe they can get some shelter there from the weather. We cut back over to a courtyard. It looks like it's in maybe the center of the castle, right? We can see these cages in this courtyard in the center of this castle. It's like a large caged-in area, and you can see a bunch of civilians or people, just refugees in general, people in these cages in this courtyard, and pissing down rain on them, kind of huddled in as close to the walls as they can get so that they're not getting hit as much with the rain, but they're sitting in mud and filth. We cut inside of the castle and we see Jacob and Melina and Oltzgar and his son, and they're sitting in that common area where like the tables were, and people were coloring and eating food and whatever. You can look out the window and they can see the rain coming down. Thunder and lightning going off in the distance. And then some guards come in.
We need everyone out in the courtyard. Out to the courtyard. Stand underneath the overhang, but we need everyone in the courtyard.
And Stevens comes in. Hey, Jacob, come on.
Yeah, dude, like, what's going on?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Yuri said to, you know, get everybody out there. He's got something he wants to say or whatever, so... So come on, man. Let's go, dude.
Yeah, I mean, let's go. Yeah.
So everyone starts gathering out in the courtyard. On one end, you can see the cell I was talking about, where all the civilians are, pissing down rain on them. And you can see this other group of civilians kind of underneath this overhang. And on the far side of the courtyard, you see Lieutenant Richardson standing there, like just by himself, standing off in the edge of the courtyard. Right. And there's like a gateway kind of like in. We see Yuri walk out. He's standing out there in the rain.
And he says, "My friends, fellow citizens of the world, for all of human history, we've been plagued with tribalism, racism, bigotry, nationalism, patriotism. And what have they given us? War? A war that has brought the human race to the brink of destruction. Societies have collapsed. Families have been torn apart. And we've been reduced to barbarism. Out there, you see it every day. Former allies, fellow soldiers, civilians turning against each other and killing each other. Here, we have protection. Here, we have unity. Here is where mankind begins its new future. But not everyone wants to be part of this new future. Not everyone wants to participate. Not everyone wants what's best for humanity. Some are still stuck in their old ways. Those same old ways of tribalism, racism, bigotry, nationalism, patriotism. These individuals are still trying to hold on to this old world. Some among you have been able to see new purpose, to see reason, to understand that what we're trying to build here now is a better future for our children and our children's children. So these last vestiges of the old ways must be removed. But that does not mean they will not serve a purpose." And he kind of gestures over to one of the guards. And the guard walks over to Lieutenant Richardson. He's got this belt. And he takes this belt, puts it around Lieutenant Richardson's waist. And you can see that there's a holster on the belt with a pistol in it. And Yuri's standing out there. And they're facing each other. And he says, "Lieutenant Richardson, this is your one chance. I will give you this opportunity. If you kill me, you are free to go. Them as well." And he points over at the cages. Lieutenant Richard's standing there, and you can see just like he's beat the fuck up. Beat the fuck up. He's kind of swaying a little bit. Pistol's on his one good side, where he's still got his good arm. And he looks up at Yuri, and they're staring across through the rain at each other. He goes to draw his pistol. Bang! Yuri shoots him. He drops to the ground in the mud. We see a couple guards walk up and start dragging Lieutenant Richardson off to the side. We cut over to Jacob and Melina. What does that look like, Jeremy?
So Jacob is just... his jaw's just dropped. He's... this man that has been so kind to him. Kinder than many people in his life. Most of the people in his life. And he's never said a crossword to Jacob. He's always treated him fairly, to the best of his ability, given circumstances. But to see him shoot this man and put on the pageantry, his jaw just drops. And he looks over at Melina, and he just looks her right in the eye, and he goes, "Like, Uncle Bobby... you know."
We cut back over to Lieutenant Richardson being dragged off to the side. If it was a camera, it would tilt up, and we can see these vats of where they're making fuel.
The fuck?
Oh,
If you or someone you love is struggling with combat-related PTSD, please call 877-717-7873. Again, that number is 877-717-PTSD. Or you can visit online PTSDUSA.org. That's PTSD Foundation of America. If you call, you'll be immediately connected to a combat veteran who understands those experiences. And if you go to the website, they have in-person groups scattered throughout the United States. And if there isn't a peer group near you, they have online peer groups. Again, that's PTSD Foundation of America. If you're struggling, you don't have to go it alone.